Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Gujarat Gas Limited's Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to the Company Secretary of Gujarat Gas, Mr. Sandeep Dave. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Dave.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. A very warm welcome to Q1 earnings call of Gujarat Gas Limited. I am Sandeep Dave, Company Secretary and Head of Corporate Communication at GGL. Just to give you an update on our scheme of arrangement, the scheme of arrangement was approved by GSPC Group of Companies on 30th August 2024. The proposed scheme will eliminate layer structure of GSPC Group, promote business synergies, and unlock value for stakeholders. The scheme is subject to various statutory and regulatory approvals. We have filed the scheme with BSE and NSE and also received no objection from BSE and NSE. We also filed the scheme with the Ministry of Corporate Affairs in February 2025. We have requested, and we are in continuous touch with MCA to expedite the process. The matter is under active consideration of the Ministry of Corporate Affairs, and we are expecting approval of the scheme in Q3. Considering longer-than-expected time taken in completing the MCA process, we have also simultaneously initiated the process for obtaining approval from other regulatory authorities. Coming back to GGL, to give a brief background about GGL, GGL is the largest city gas distribution company in India. GGL is operating in 27 geographical areas spread across six states and one union territory. We have a good mix of mature and emerging CGD areas. We have developed a pipeline network of more than 43,300 km, which provides natural gas to approximately 23.02 lakh households, more than 4,425 industrial customers, and approximately 15,700 commercial customers. We also operate 830 CNG stations, serving approximately 4 lakh vehicles per day. We are aggressively setting up CNG infrastructure as well as upgrading CNG infrastructure to promote the use of clean and green fuel. We also started injecting biogas into the GGL system. At Gujarat Gas, with the commitment of providing complete energy solutions that empower communities, business, and industries, and with an aim to become a total energy solution provider, the Board of Directors of GGL, at its meeting held on 5th August, has approved to undertake sourcing and sale of propane or LPG to industrial customers. This reiterates our commitment towards a customer-centric approach. GGL aims to deliver affordable, reliable, and cleaner energy by operating responsibly and performing with excellence while considering environment, social, and government factors. As part of our commitment to ESG initiatives, we have taken various measures, which include hydrogen blending pilot projects, which we have completed with 8% blending. Now, we have initiated action for increasing blending level to 50%. We have embarked on a major digitization drive across various business operations and processes. Our major contribution to the environment is by virtue of promoting the use of gas for industrial customers. In Q1, we have reduced burning of approximately 11,242 metric tons of coal per day by providing clean fuel. Further, through our CNG sale on various outlets, we have reduced combustion of approximately 3,295 kiloliters of petrol per day during the current quarter. At Gujarat Gas, we adhere to the highest standards of safety and a strong culture of safety. GGL is an ISO-certified organization for integrated quality, occupational health, safety, and environment management system. We build, operate, and maintain a safe and reliable gas network in our areas of operation. With this brief background on GGL, I now request Mr. Dipen Chauhan to share business updates. Over to you, Dipen.
Thank you, Sandeep. Good afternoon, everyone. Let me first update on the domestic and commercial segment. We are seeing a positive growth in the domestic segment. GGL's customer base is now more than 22.85 lakh domestic customers. GGL has added 36,000 commissioned customers in Q1 FY26 and registered 39,000 customers in Q1 FY26. Importantly, GGL has signed gas sales agreement with Bathinda Military Station for the supply of PNG to over 11,300 residential quarters and 230 masses. The commercial segment is showing steady growth in connection numbers. We expect the numbers in the domestic and commercial segment to increase over the period of time as the new areas mature. GGL at present has a customer base of 15,700 commissioned commercial customers. Now let me update on industrial segment. In the industrial segment, sales volume were 4.71 MMSCMD for quarter ended 30th June 2025, whereas the sales volume during the previous quarter was 5.03 MMSCMD, an overall decrease nearly 6%. As anticipated, during the last earning call, the reduction was mainly in Morbi volumes, where customer opted to shift to propane from natural gas due to higher price differential. The average Morbi volume was 2.51 MMSCMD and non-Morbi volume was 2.20 MMSCMD. The Morbi volumes reduced from 2.87 MMSCMD in Q4 FY25 to 2.51 MMSCMD in Q1 FY26. The non-Morbi volume of 2.20 MMSCMD for quarter ended 30th June 2025 has grown from 2.16 MMSCMD during the previous quarter. That is an increase of approximately 2%. The non-Morbi volumes has grown by approximately 8% the same period in the previous financial year. The reduction in spot RLNG prices and crude prices during the quarter enabled GGL to reduce the prices in industrial segment. The reduction also enabled GGL to maintain the price differential to propane, that is natural gas premium by rupees 3.50 per SCM. The natural gas demand in Morbi is likely to remain low on account of upcoming Janmashtami festival in this quarter. In addition, persistent uncertainties related to tariffs and geopolitical dynamics continue to cloud the overall business outlook. We continue to monitor the various aspects affecting the volumes, namely price movements of spot RLNG and alternate fuel, and consumer goods demand across all our operating areas, and shall just adjust to such market dynamics so as to maintain balance between margins and volumes. Now let me update on CNG segment. GGL reported a strong performance in Q1 FY26 driven by robust growth in CNG volumes and expanding infrastructure. CNG sales rose by 12% year over year, with Gujarat recording a 10% increase and areas outside Gujarat delivering a notable 27% growth, underscoring GGL's success in deepening its presence across geographies. As of June 2025, the CNG vehicle base across GGL's network reached approximately 15.65 lakhs compared to 13.63 lakhs a year earlier, reflecting a solid 15% growth. CNG continues to offer a compelling economic advantage, being approximately 45% cheaper than petrol and 23% cheaper than diesel, further reinforcing its attractiveness amid volatile fuel prices. During the quarter, GGL commissioned 3 new CNG stations, supporting its commitment to expanding reach and improving accessibility. CNG sales volume touched a record high of 3.72 MMSCMD, highlighting sustained demand momentum. Looking ahead, GGL is well positioned to capitalize on the increasing shift towards cleaner energy. With ongoing infrastructure development, a growing CNG vehicle base, and strong customer adoption, the company remains confident in maintaining its growth trajectory and strengthening its leadership segment. Finally, I'm happy to update that during Q1, we marked significant milestone in our company's digital transformation journey also. With a sharp focus on innovation and operational excellence, we go for merger. We have planned to strategically expand our enterprise resource planning ecosystem to incorporate additional key business functions and achieve the benefit of seamless integration across verticals. Along with this, the plant technology transformation of ERP will help to leverage advancement in AI-powered analytics and enhance decision-making and risk management capabilities. On the operations, we have drawn a blueprint for implementing a robust and secure SCADA system to enable centralized monitoring and control across all geographies. This scalable, agile infrastructure is designed to support our evolving business dynamics and ensure responsiveness in a rapidly shifting global environment. Thank you very much. Now I'll request our CFO, Rajesh Sivadasan, to take over, please. Rajesh.
Thanks, Dipen. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I welcome you to the earnings call for the first quarter of the financial year 25-26. I'd like to thank you all for attending the call today. I trust you would have gone through the financial results for the quarter ended 30th June, along with the presentations which we have uploaded on the website and the stock exchange. During the quarter, the company connected close to 35,000 new domestic connections, making the total PNG domestic connections more than 23 lakhs. During this quarter, the company also invested close to 121 crores into the gas infrastructure. The company is also planning to incur annual capex in the range of 800 to 1,000 crores in this financial year. In terms of revenue of the company which has registered, the revenue from operations stood at 4,065 crores during this first quarter against 4,615 crores in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. The company reported an EBITDA of 579 crores in the first quarter against 574 crores in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. The profit after tax stood at 327 crores in the first quarter compared to 330 crores in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. The company's rupee per SCM EBITDA margin for this quarter stood at 7.17 against rupees 5.75 in the previous quarter. The company's estimated EBITDA margin will be in the range of 4.5 to 5.5 rupees for this current financial year. During the first quarter, the company has received around 100% allocation towards domestic segment and 41% allocation towards the CNG segment. Thus, we have an overall allocation of 51% to the priority segment from the government. The APM shortfall was met by the new well gas, the HPHT gas, the long-term and the spot volumes. Gujarat Gas continues to have a credit rating of AAA stable and a short-term rating of A1 plus from CRISIL, CARE and India ratings. Further, as requested by the investors, we have also uploaded the 12-monthly results of GSPC in GSPC's website. We now open this floor for Q&A session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Probal Sen from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. I had 3 questions. Firstly, you just mentioned about the sourcing, partially, that 51% of your priority sector sales was met by APM. Can we get an overall percentage breakup in terms of sourcing of 8.88 MMSCMD that we have done? Overall, how much gas is being sourced from, you know, which source in percentage terms or in volume terms, whatever is available? That was my first question.
So, coming to your question, the gas from short-term contract is basically 34%, long-term contract is 38%, and the rest is all domestic gas. Majority of them that coming from APM and new well gas.
How much of HPHT gas did we get in this quarter? Hello, am I audible?
Yeah.
Yes, sir,
close to 0.7 CMD. 7
lakhs. HPHT. Right.
HPHT, yes.
Right. Right. So the 51% shortfall that you mentioned, sir, would have been HPHT 0.7, 51% from APM, and the balance would be from New Well Gas. Is that a fair way to look at it? Hello?
Can you repeat?
You said that, sir, on a blended basis, 51% of priority gas was from APM, and you just mentioned HPHT was about 0.7. So the balance would have been from the New Well Gas. Is that a fair way to look at it?
New Well and spot also.
Some bit of spot. Got it. Fair enough, sir. The second question was, sir, about this new business initiative, the propane sourcing and sale that we are looking to do. I just wanted to understand, sir, how will this business model work and what sort of commercials are we looking at in terms of, you know, what is the advantage that we are bringing in when other players are also already there that are selling and sourcing propane, particularly in Morbi. If you can just throw some more light on this.
So basically, the current consumption in Morbi is close to gas equivalent, if you see, is close to 7.5 million, out of which one third is gas and two third is propane. So total propane market, if you see, is close to around 1,67,000 metric tons per month. We are basically targeting close to 25% of this market. And what we intend to do is basically we want to become an integrated energy supplier for all their energy needs. So they won't have to shift from one supplier to the other. And the advantage that we think we can bring is basically we can help them reduce their working capital requirements since they already have some financial security already provided to us, which we can use if we are selling propane to them. So they don't have to, you know, basically rush to other suppliers with the advance money and all those stuff.
But will our pricing... Sorry, sir, go ahead.
Market and we are trying... Yeah, sorry, please go ahead.
No, sir, you go ahead, sir. I'll come back. I mean, please finish your answer. Sorry.
Basically, we are targeting a market close to 25% of the total market for the initial few months. Maybe this financial year ending, and then depending on how we what our experience is, we can then scale it up further.
So where will we source this propane from, sir? Will we be basically contracting with the OMCs or importing it directly, or how will it work, sir?
So we'll be importing it directly from the international markets.
Okay, so our pricing will therefore be competitive with any other supplier in the market.
So that's our strength. Basically, we have been sourcing LNG since long through GSPC, obviously. But that's our strength, and we hope to get propane from the international market at a lower price, which we can use, you know, to compete in the markets.
Right. Last question, sir, if I may squeeze in one more. You mentioned about the uncertain demand environment overall at Morbi itself, and you know, given that that continues to be there, any guidance you would like to give on volumes specifically from Morbi going forward for the next few quarters, and an overall exit rate if you want to tell us for FY26 for the company?
I think we are reviewing the market. We'll continue to look at the market, but I think difficult to guess as to what the number would be, but we continue to look at it, and that's how as of now we can put it this way.
No problem, sir. Thank you so much for the detailed answers. Very, very helpful. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Yogesh Patil from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question, sir. Sir, as you mentioned, the current volumes of the Morbi on the propane side are the 5 MMSCMD, and what we are targeting as the Gujarat Gas is 25% of that. 1.2, 1.3 MMSCMD is the right volume to assume for the remaining period of the FY 2026. Is that a correct understanding?
For propane?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So, sir, if possible, what would be the margins on the propane distribution? That's one. And are you planning to do some CapEx in building this propane or LPG supply chain?
So there is no CapEx involved in this entire exercise that we are planning. So except booking for some capacities in the terminals, there is no CapEx involved.
Okay. Any guidance or any ballpark number if you could give us on the margin side, what kind of margins you will make on the distribution of propane?
Well, difficult to guess since we are entering in this business for the first time. Difficult to give any numbers right now.
Will it be better than PNG industrial? Will it be lower than a PNG industrial?
Would be difficult to comment on margin at this juncture. I think we'll see it will evolve over a period of time. Probably it will be better placed to comment on margin once we have got a good grasp of the market.
Sir, your PNG industrial business has marketing and infrastructure exclusivity. Is food protection. But you are entering into the propane distribution business where more than five players are already there. So apart from the working capital, is there any strategy where you can play and really gain the market share inside the Morbi?
I think it's not only Morbi we are looking at. See, I think propane is being consumed by not only Morbi, other areas also. So let's things unfold in the future. We'll get back to in the next quarter. By the time we'll be trying to sell the gas, sell propane in the market, so we'll be having better clarity with respect to the margins, etc. I think that will be the right time to tell you what strategy you have adopted.
Okay, last one, sir. Have you applied for the propane distribution license towards the regulator? Any updates on that side?
So we have to get a credit rating from the agency, which we have got.
Okay. Thanks, sir. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Maulik Patel from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Couple of questions. Can we just get in on the GSPC performance in Q1 FY26? What kind of volume did on the trading side and trading profit or the PAT at the GSPC?
Maulik, we are yet to go to the board with respect to that. Mostly it will be end of this month. So once that is there, it will be available in the website once we have, the board approves it.
Got it. Second question is on this long-term volume we have from the RasGas and BG. We understand that there is a significant revision has happened in one of the contract. And the pricing in one of the contracts has come down. Also, you recently reduced the price in Morbi by almost 3.3 rupees per SCM. Will this both offset each other, the reduction in the BG contract and the price reduction in Morbi, will this offset each other?
Well, I think both are not related as such, but the reduction in selling price is more on account of reduction in crude prices as well. And obviously, we have to link our selling price to the alternate fuel, which is propane in this case. So I think, yeah, that's my answer to your question right now.
Okay, so in a way that currently the propane for this September month is significantly lower at about $520 per ton compared to $580, $590 used to be for the month of August. So next 2 months there is going to be likely a volume pressure in Morbi. You did around 2.5 MMSCMD in Q1, right? So Q2 is likely to be lower than that. I presume given that propane will see a significant sharp correction plus there's a seasonality is also there, because in this August September month, Morbi generally goes for some kind of production shutdown because of the festival. So Q2 volume will be lower than the Q1, right?
Q2 volumes would be, yes, lower to because of Janmashtami and general slowdown because of festivals and all.
Mm-hmm. What's your view on the non-Morbi volume? I think it has been stated around 2.2 kind of a number, right, and been holding up well. Do you see any kind of incremental growth in non-Morbi volume?
Yes, I think we are seeing a good uptick in non-Morbi volumes. We are in touch with various bigger kind of consumers, whom we are now targeting them with some fixed term contracts, rather than having a contract which had termination provisions. So we are going for long term contracts in non-Morbi region, mm-hmm. like Vapi, Valsad, and other places. Mm-hmm. We are in touch with certain bulk consumers, and I think we see a strong growth in non-Morbi region.
Okay, got it. Just last questions on the CNG side. What's the progress on that scheme? I think I understand that there were some 60 or 70 CNG stations come under this FODO scheme, right? But if I see that over this quarter, and in Q1 only two additional stations has been set up, right? But at the same time, the volume growth, or probably if I look at YOY basis, it's again around 20-30 CNG stations has been added. But if I look at the growth, has been very strong. It's almost around 11% kind of an CNG volume growth. Is this more that the efficiency is coming into the picture in terms of a higher throughput at the CNG stations, which is driving this growth?
Yes, please. And the most important thing is increase in number of CNG vehicles in the state. I think almost nearly 2 lakh vehicles have been added in the last few months, or I can say 1 year. And the same way, we are adding more and more CNG infrastructure also. There is a good asset utilization in existing stations, and with these new CNG stations are coming up, we are expecting that vehicle growth will be better than even whatever happened in the last year.
So you mean to say that last year we did around 11% kind of CNG growth, the FY26 CNG growth can be higher than that?
Possible. That is possible, because we are planning to add under the FDODO scheme, there are we have 70 odd stations are almost in the process of construction. And I think before this December, we'll be able to add at least double-digit CNG station under this scheme.
Good. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Amit Murarka from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So just to get it clear, so Morbi, you said, would be lower in Q2 than Q1. Like, what would be generally be the expected run rate?
Okay, can you get back? We cannot get the point.
No, you said Q2, Morbi volume will be lower than Q1. Q1 was 2.51, as you said. So could you just give guidance as to what is the number that we can expect on Q1 and Q2 based on the current run rate that you see?
Could be in the range of 2.3 to 2.5.
Sure. Also, industrial price, I think, has been cut by about 3.5 in. What is the price right now after this cut?
Essentially, 30.
So I was just wondering that basically pre-cut you were at 46.8 then, which is more or less flat at Q1 was flat at Q4. And even CNG and domestic PNG were flat in Q1 to Q4. So just I was wondering, like, the realization had a bit of a drop on a QOQ basis. So what would that be on account of then?
I think realization was more in this quarter.
I don't know, because if I do kind of revenue divided by volume, I get a lower realization.
I don't think so.
Okay, fine, sure. And just lastly on GSPC, could you skip FY25 financials?
So it's already in the website. GSPC website
sure.
Is available.
Okay, yeah. I'll just take a look. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bang Equities. Please go ahead.
Good evening and thank you very much for the call. So if you are looking at the LPG propane distribution business, have you got the line of sight in terms of sourcing and the customers who are actually willing to give you a contract? How is that progressing?
So basically, we are in touch with various international suppliers for sourcing propane. As far as customer base is concerned, those are our existing customers, and we are very confident that if we are sourcing propane.
Hello, yeah, okay. So if you look at your slide 12 and 14, I have some questions there. So the slide 12 gives the details of the spread of the geographic areas. So can you tell us in terms of the potential for ramp up in volumes in the next 2 years, which are the GAs or areas where you see growth potential and which are the areas where you see a quick ramp up to EBITDA, break even and positive contribution to earnings? I had a couple of questions on slide 12 and 14. In slide 12, you have given the breakup of the GAs across the 27 GAs and the different cities. So you can give us a sense in terms of where you expect a quick ramp up in terms of, you know, volumes or peak volumes. What is the number and when? Which are the areas where you see profitable operations in the next 1 or 2 years? And the second question is on the slide 14, where you have given data on the Dodo station, franchise stations. So in the past, whatever franchise stations you have had, how much of CNG volume is coming from these franchise stations and what is the distribution cost for the existing franchise stations? So these are the two thoughts I would like to have from
commission cost.
Will you please repeat the last question?
Yeah, the first question was on slide 12 across the different GA. Second question was on slide 14, where you have given the breakup of the different types of CNG outlets, which includes the franchisee outlets, which I presume will be similar to your Dodo outlet. So if you can share the current performance of these franchisee outlets in terms of the share of the CNG volume and what is the kind of distribution cost you have for these franchisee outlets, it will be useful to assess, you know, how the ramp up in the Dodo stations will help you in terms of volume growth and, you know, the cost of that business.
I'll just share the distribution of the CNG station. If you see that.
Hello. Now, we have the distribution of the CNG stations. Now, what I'm asking is, in these franchise stations of 95, say, in 24 and 104 in 25, what is the, you know, per kg CNG volume or the overall aggregate volume between, and what is the distribution cost for these specific stations compared to your overall distribution cost? You know, that will help us get some idea about the, you know, cost of the Dodo station, how you can generate some earnings and cash flows from that, right? So, just to understand the economics of the current franchisee models.
I think the current franchising model runs on a commission basis on the sale of CNG which happens over there.
I think it's in the range of 3 to 4 rupees per kg. That's what commission we are giving to the franchisee. And for the OMC also, the more or less the commission is same. But in the F-Dodo scheme, in the F-Dodo scheme where CapEx and OPEX are both by the franchisee, we are giving 8 rupees per kg for online stations and nearly 10 rupees for the daughter booster stations.
Okay, so these existing franchise stations, what will be the CNG volumes per day or aggregate volume for the quarter? Can you just share that with us for the existing franchise stations?
So we don't have the exact specified for the franchisee, but on an overall basis, we average around 3000 kg per day.
So will it be similar to that in terms of the location?
For the new FDODO people coming in, they have looked at it in the, those range only, where from 2,000 to 3,000 would be the starting for them, and then going forward, increasing based on the traffic which is there.
Okay, so if you go back to that slide 12 question, if you can give us some thought in terms of where you expect the biggest bang for the buck on the growth in CNG and PNG across the 27 GAs in terms of over the next 2 years, where is the visibility and what is the kind of ramp up in terms of EBITDA break-even and progressively, you know, profitable operation. Where do you see that happen across the GAs?
Yeah, you are asking too many things in one thing, but I will just try to summarize that. Basically, so the growth is practically happening in the Ahmedabad rural area, the Thane area, and the Dahej and the Surat areas, wherein the CNG practically we are getting a much bigger growth than more than 10 to 15% growth is happening over there. With respect to the margins, yes, we'll be having the CV, you know, the margins which you are earning on the CNG. So that margins will, we'll be protecting those margins going forward. But yes, the APM gas allocation will definitely affect the EBITDA margins going forward.
So if you look at the current capex and the, you know, commercialization of the GAs and the increase in depreciation, when do you think we'll be able to generate EBIT to cover the depreciation and generate positive ROC double digits? See, across all the 27 GAs, what is the timeline one should expect?
No, I think we have, with respect to the CNG stations, we cover it between 3 to 4 years. We cover the for the COCO stations. And I see in the franchising model, the rest of the things are ours. In the OMC model, there are different models, and different models have different ROEs and the payback periods.
No, I'm not asking for the model. I'm asking for the new GA where you are committing a lot of capex, because your depreciation will go up, right, once they are commercialized. So from the time you commercialize, what is the timeline and when do you expect to get the double-digit ROC?
I think it will take 4 to 5 years, because these are all, for example, the Punjab area and all, they are new developing areas.
Okay.
So we expect that three to five years is the time period wherein which we will be able to recover the things.
Well, thank you very much and wish you all the best.
Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Achal Shah from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
So just wanted to know that since currently propane is favorable, but if RLNG is favorable in the long run, what could be the industrial volumes, where could the industrial volumes reach a ballpark figure in MMSCMD?
So if the LNG is favorable, which we hope it to be very soon, I think we can easily do 6 million in Morbi and close to 2.5 million in non-Morbi.
Got it. And sir, like, that would take, like, shifting would take some time, like when RLNG is, like, becomes attractive, how much time would it take if it continues to remain attractive for like 6 months, 1 year or 2 years? So that volumes will start increasing from next month onwards, or it would take some time?
I think in the short term there are some issues, but I think we expect a lot of new LNG supplies coming into the market from countries like Qatar, US and Mozambique and other countries. So that will put pressure on the, that will increase the supply, and basically that will put downward pressure on the prices. So we are hopeful. I think in the shorter term, there are some issues, but I think we are hopeful that very soon we'll be reaching new, we'll be basically able to sell more in Morbi and non-Morbi regions.
Got it. Sir, just second and last question is this press release by PNGRB where they have reduced 3 zones to 2 zones. What will be the impact, if positive or negative, for like Gujarat Gas on margin front?
Based on the present tariff you are talking?
So, sir, like currently there are three zones for tariff for transmission that will like by a few after a few months that will move to like two zones. So after that, what will be the impact on our margins since some volumes will go to zone one and zone one rates will increase and which will be like expensive than zone two. So have you done any of such analysis?
No, see, for us, based on the present tariffs which are there, it will be there will be positive impact for us.
So, sir, I'm assuming majority of our volumes are currently in zone two. Is it? Or
Yeah, it is in zone two. Yeah, right.
So, like eventually that will go to the new zone one, which will have a lower tariff than the current zone two.
Yeah. So after the this is changed, we have 42% would be in zone one and 46% will be in zone two.
So currently, what is that breakup? Like
It's 14, 20, 53 and 21.
Okay. Got it, sir. Thanks, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Varatharajan Sivasankaran from Antique Limited. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So, like, if you see the last few quarters, the addition in terms of outlets has slowed down significantly. So you have been talking about the FDODO and other models and 200 outlets being currently, like, you know, approved and so on and so forth. But you're not seeing the momentum pick up in terms of outlet addition. So if you can give some visibility on that.
Actually, CNG station development and infrastructure is a bit, if you see the number of permissions and everything is required, and when this most of the FDODO franchises are doing it for the first time and companies providing all the support to for the application, that's the reason it's why going slow. But right now, out of 70 odd documents which we have already signed, 52 applications already submitted and 43 approvals we have already received. Means those franchisees. So I think, as I mentioned earlier in this conversation, that we will see double-digit addition in the CNG station under FDODO scheme before December.
My second question was that, like you just now pointed out as well, answering Mr. Ramesh's question, that you are confident about the global gas prices, LNG prices coming off, then why even, like, you know, consider this option of getting into LPG or propane for that matter? Because then, like, you know, it will be more expensive than the LNG. Then there is no market in that respect, right? Just now also you mentioned that in Norway, like, you know, if things fall in place, you'll be able to do 600 SCMD. Then why even consider this as an option?
So in the short term, I also mentioned that in the short term there are some issues. And obviously, we see some of our customers go to other suppliers for propane. So we want to be a single energy supplier for our customers. And if there is some money to be made there, why not? I mean, we could be, you know, if that money is there lying on the table, we should be able to grab it. So that's even maybe it is for the short term, but we should be there to, you know, grab that opportunity.
Fair enough, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Mayank Maheshwari from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
So thank you for the call. I think the question was more related on the strategy on LPG. I get your point around the single energy supplier. I think, but if I look at historically, you have been a bit more wary about signing long-term supply contracts even on LNG. So for LPG, do you think you will be buying spot or you will be even trying to get those one-year contracts which are currently there in the market if you buy from Saudi Aramco, et cetera?
I think we are basically right now looking at spot only. Because pricing, if you see in the propane market, is basically previous month Saudi CP and linked to that. So we are basically looking at spot only as of now. But on the gas side, we are looking at definitely signing. Pardon?
No, sorry, go ahead.
But on the gas side, yes, definitely we are looking at signing long-term contracts for a major share of the Morbi market.
Yeah. And sir, would you, is there a number in your mind that you think over the next 5 years you want to kind of have in terms of long-term LNG contracts?
Yeah, as I said, I think we should be covering almost 2/3 of the Morbi market with the long-term contracts.
Okay. And sir, on the LPG point, you said that you'll be buying spot. So, but in terms of getting LPG even from the Middle East, I think you need tankers and all that stuff. So you will be doing that also spot fixing, or you are kind of trying to get at least the logistics side on a more long-term basis?
So there are contracts which are available on a DES basis delivered to Indian ports. So once we get the DES supplies, I think the rest of the infrastructure is already there.
Got it. And sir, the last question was on CNG. If you look at it, I think in terms of CNG margins as well implied in your numbers, I think there is some pressure there. Is that largely because of the Dodo coming in, or is there something else that we should be worried about?
No. The margin is basically affected because we have increased the commission, okay, of the OMC, and that's the only reason. Otherwise, CNG business, we are quite bullish about it.
Okay, so on a like-to-like basis, you have not seen any compression in CNG margins?
Not yet.
So that's only because the APM, ultimately the APM shortfall is being met through the spot and the other sources of gas. So automatically that margin will be affected.
Okay, that's what I wanted to say. Quarter on quarter, I thought the APM numbers are reasonably similar, to not very different.
No, it is. Yes, that is no. Yeah, it is. We only have a 48% allocation. Yeah.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Hardik Solanki from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Two questions. One is what was the GSPC volume for FY25, and what was the cash and cash equivalent as on March 25?
We achieved a volume of close to 12.450 MMSCMD GSPC for the previous year, 24-25.
And cash and cash equivalent?
It would be close to 2,300 or something. Or approximately 2,300.
Similar to the last year, right?
Yeah.
And secondly, what was the propane to industrial gas price discount in Q1, and what is, currently after price cut?
I think it has remained almost the same because the propane prices have also come down.
So what's the discount at the moment?
Yeah, it's close to 4 rupees. After the price cut, it's close to 4 rupees.
Okay. That's really helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next follow-up question is from the line of Yogesh Patil from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for an opportunity again, sir. Sir, if you could give us some gas sourcing details in MMSCMD unit terms. Now, what we know, HPHT of 0.7 MMSCMD, BG volumes, which is crude LNG contracted 2.5, and Qatar is closer to 1 MMSCMD. Apart from that, if you could give us APM volume, NWG volume, and any spot which you have purchased during the quarter, that would be helpful.
I think Devendra mentioned about the thing in percentage earlier. Of the 8.8 breakup, he has already told you. told the conference.
Oh, our long-term gas sourcing contracts for the BG is due for renewal in this calendar year. When can we get any update on this side?
As of now, we have extended the contracts till March 26. So after that, we'll be renewing the contracts again. But
okay. Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, that's it. I mean.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Nitin Tiwari from Philip Capital India Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I have a very basic question, sir. The margin that we spoke about, the OHC margin or the dealer margin that we offer in CNG, so that's where is that adjusted? Is it adjusted in our cost or in the top line?
Which margin you are talking about?
The dealer margin, sir, the 3 to 4 rupee margin that you indicated, 3 to 4 rupee per kg.
Part of operational cost.
That is part of operational cost. That's not what it is, like, is the top line.
Yeah.
Okay. And secondly, sir, basically, the price discount that you said about between propane and natural gas in Modi, can you give that to us in energy equivalent terms? So what is our pricing in, say, rupees per MMBTU in Morbi versus like propane, and what is the price discount?
Okay, the presently we told, what we told was in SCMD, rupees per SCM. So,
right.
Yeah, so basically there's the gas prices are close to 44 rupees today against the propane NG equivalent price of 40 rupees per SCM.
Okay.
So that's so, close to 4 rupees.
That's in rupees per SCM. I was looking for that data in MMBTU terms. If you can help us with that in terms of what is the price in rupees per MMBTU for propane and natural gas, and hence what is the gap? So I suppose your billing would be in rupees per MMBTU, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So what is the price in rupees per MMBTU for natural gas and for propane?
Just give us a minute.
Yeah. So in the meantime, I'll just let you highlight something. So this is about the realization on overall basis. That if we look at your revenue sort of divided by the volume that we have in this quarter. So if we suppose, account for other price points, which is your industrial and the price point that you are charging in Morbi, and then try and have a understanding of how much our CNG realization would be in this quarter. So that's actually lower than the headline price. That's why I was asking that whether our dealer margins are adjusted against the headline price, or is it adjusted against the operating cost? So that's what I was
Yeah, it was included as a part of the operating cost. It is not the top line we changed.
So top line is charged, and so if your CNG price is 79 rupees, so then you're going to charge your top line would be basically be accounted at rupees 79 and not.
Yeah, right. Yes.
CNG price.
Yeah, with respect to the price, it will be just an update. That's it.
It's 1327 rupees per MMBTU would be the gas price.
Uh-huh.
And 1207 would be the propane price.
Sorry, 1207.
07.
These are the current prices you which are fairly like.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, so got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Somay B from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. So first question is on the margin. So in the opening remarks, you did mention your outlook in terms of 4.5 to 5.5 for this year. Obviously, Q1
sorry,
has been good.
Somay, sir. Your voice is muffled, sounding very muffled.
Yeah, I hope it's better now.
Yes, sir. Now it's better. Please go ahead. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, thanks. So my first question is on the margin. So in the opening remarks, we said in terms of this year, we are looking at 4.5 to 5.5 EBITDA per SCM. So we've had a good start for in Q1. Just wanted to understand what are we looking for the next 9 months. Why at 4.5 to 5.5? Just wanted to hear your thoughts.
No, I think there is an uncertainty with the Q2 is always difficult with respect to the festivals coming in. And the propane prices, the differential also moving. So that's the reason to hold the market also we have reduced the prices. So I think the correction in the guidance will come by Q3. Let's see how the Q2 goes. Subsequently, we'll take a view on that.
Got it, sir. Just one clarification here. So this does not include any impact of the propane marketing that we want to undertake, right? I mean,
no, nothing to do with it. No.
Got it, sir. So second question, in terms of the existing propane supply in the region, so is it by the industry currently it is being domestically procured, domestically sourced propane, or is it there also kind of imported propane?
So it is actually a mix of domestic and import, but generally, but more or less, it is more on the import side.
Got it, sir. So I was just trying to go back to your earlier point. One, working capital is one advantage that you were mentioning. Anything else? Because if it's going to be more on the import side, I think from logistics angle, I don't see an advantage. Is there anything else that we can have as an advantage where we can try and get back to this 25% of the market share in propane?
I think difference would be then who does sourcing better. That would be the basically the advantage would lie with them.
Okay, sir. The last question, in terms of existing infrastructure in Morbi for propane, of the total units, to what extent, the propane infrastructure are being there? Or put it the other way, how many units are total mix in overall units, which is still only dependent on gas and don't have propane infrastructure?
So almost 1 to 1.5 million equivalent gas consuming consumers are only on gas. So basically 370 units are only on gas, and 530 units are, they have the dual this thing. They can use gas, they can use propane as well.
Understood, sir. This is helpful, sir. Sir, one small clarification here. So you did mention 1.5 MM SCMT. So we have ended up selling 2.6. So now this extra 1 MMSMT, though they had an option to switch to propane, the reason for being with gas, is it because they have been tied with some contracts with us and they have to kind of continue to use it? Or the stickiness of this extra 1 MMSMT, just want to understand that.
So it's not because of the contract. It's because many of these are, export-oriented units. And with gas, they achieve certain kind of, clarity or whatever you call in terms of quality. They want to use gas instead of any other fuel.
Understood, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Kirtan Mehta from Baroda BNP Paribas Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. I had a question on the GSPC 12.5 MMS SCMD volume that we've done. Could you give us a bit more color in terms of how much was sold to Gujarat Gas and how much was to the external consumers? And also from the sourcing perspective, how much was sourced on the long-term contract and what was the spot volume there?
Yeah, I think what we can tell is around 50% is sold to Gujarat Gas. And respect to the sourcing thing, we can say that close to 65% was on the LNG imported direct, and the rest 35% we sourced from the domestic and RLNG.
Right. And everything was on long-term contract or is a mix of long-term and medium-term contracts?
Mix of long-term and short-term, yes.
Is it possible to indicate the breakup as well in terms of long-term and short-term?
Not now.
Okay. And what is the average margin that we make on this volume? Is it close to 2 rupee per SCM?
No, it depends on the who are we selling to and all. With respect to Gujarat Gas, we have to maintain the arm's length. So that arm's length is always maintained with respect to related party transactions. For rest, it's basically bidded out mostly. We participate in the bids and basically we get the bids from that. It's usually the fertilizer and the sectors.
Right, sir. Second question is about, you also mentioned that for the LPG, you'll be tying up the terminal capacity. So would it be the Aegis Vopak terminal which would be the key which would be looked at, or are other terminals work more economical for us?
So Aegis obviously would be, that is the one we are, that is also one of the terminals we are looking at. But there are other terminals also closer to Morbi. So we are looking at all the options.
And what could be our inland logistics cost, basically, to from the terminal to this, in terms of a rupee per SCM or rupee per kg?
Hello.
In discussions with various partners, we'll maybe in the next this thing we'll be able to communicate to you with greater accuracy.
Sure, sir. Thank you for this clarification.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bank Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the follow-up. So if you look at the potential in Morbi, so what is happening exactly in terms of the tile industry? Because a lot of concern in terms of export slowdown and the tariff issue, especially to the, you know, in terms of the exposure to the US export. So how is the on-ground utilization there, and how long do you think it will take for the tile industry to get back to the normal consumption and reach the full potential of 7 to 9 million cubic meters a day?
I think as of now, we are not seeing anything which is, you know, leading to non-utilization, because even today, out of the total potential of close to 9 MMSCMD, they are still consuming close to, 7.5 MMSCMD, which is more than 75% capacity utilization. So as of now, we don't see any issue as far as utilization or production is concerned at these ceramic units. Exports are already, you know, in excess of 1,000 crore rupees per month and growing at a reasonable rate. So as we speak, I don't think there is any issue as of now.
And if you look at the LNG sourcing, given that, you know, there's a lot of liquefaction capacity coming online, is there any line of sight you have in terms of the tie-up of supplies through, you know, direct negotiations with GSPC, and what is the kind of, you know, reduction in price you may expect? Our discussions on, because it is well known that the LNG prices are going to possibly decline, but what is the progress you're making in terms of negotiation there in terms of tying up long-term contracts?
So we are in touch with various, GSPC, through GSPC, we are in touch with various LNG suppliers, and we see good linkages available in terms of, you know, price in terms of linkages to Brent are at a very reasonable level in view of the increase in liquefaction capacity and supplies going on stream in near future. So I think the gas prices would be reasonable as compared to what we are seeing right now. Much more reasonable.
So in terms of a housekeeping question, you have a 7 or 8% stake in GSPC LNG, and that's a loss-making entity. So where are you adjusting the mark-to-market losses in your results FY25 and 1Q FY26? And when is it likely to turn profitable?
We are not. It's not a. They're not consolidating on a land by land basis.
Yeah, but you still have to provide mark-to-market for the 8% stake in GSPC LNG, right? So where is the accounting?
No, they have given a valuation to that. So the valuation has not gone below 10 rupees. That at the price which we have acquired it.
Okay, so basically there is no mark-to-market requirement. Okay, fair enough. Thanks a lot and wish you all.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sandeep Dave, Company Secretary, for closing comments. Thank you and over to you, sir.
I would like to thank everyone for sparing your valuable time for attending the investor call. Festive season is approaching and my best wishes on behalf of GGL management to all our investors who participated on the call. We look forward to interact with you during the next call.
Thank you. On behalf of Gujarat Gas Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your line.
Thank you.